fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Okay, let's hope this weekend's games are better than what we saw last night. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Adam, Dave, and Jamie ready to take your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and tell you who to start and sit. Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
We're here.
Okay, good.
Jamie, Wonderful. Right. I feel as good as the Patriots defense.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of Patriots defense last night. No. Hooray. Hooray for that. A lot of Texans defense, too, though.
Yeah, not so good.
Oops. So, yeah, we'll talk about that craptastic game, 27-0. Hey, let's start with a stat. All right, let's start with stat of the day. Because I think people are going to really struggle with their Seahawks decisions this week. But the reason why Jamie had Jonathan Stewart as his start of the week in week two is the reason why you can be optimistic about the Seahawks. We know the 49ers cannot play any defense on the road. And if you look at on the road last year in eight games, three quarterbacks scored 30 or more fantasy points, five quarterbacks scored 22 or more, and the ones who didn't were Nick Foles, Jay Cutler, and Johnny Manziel. So was it difficult for you guys to rank Russell Wilson in the passing game this week for Seattle?
I'm worried about how healthy he is and how that offensive line is and how they'll react. I throw out everything from the 49ers last year because they were poorly coached. They didn't have
the same old 49ers last week, though.
They did last week, but they were also in a very tough spot, which we acknowledged all week long.
But I would say this is kind of still a tough
spot. This is still a tough spot.
Second straight road game.
But I think it's a tough spot for Seattle's offense, too, based on how they look right now.
I would separate those two things. Tough spot versus how they look are two different things in this equation. Because this is not a tough spot. How they look, not good. Tough spot, not so much. Home against this team, if he was 100%, right? He had the ankle injury week one.
Russell Wilson.
Came out, played well last week. Didn't have a big stat line, but played well.
You'd start him this week without hesitation.
That's the thing, because it's the matchup. So I think your points, I agree with. He doesn't look right. Offensive line doesn't look right. Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett can say they're fine. They're obviously not 100%. So you have a lot of things working against the Seahawks, which is why I think there should be some pause when looking at him and saying must start guy. I have him. I'm going to move Mariota ahead of him.
You know, talk about a good situation.
I know. Who should have a good game?
Hmm?
You know who should have a good game?
It's Christian Michael.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they can lean on him, and if Rawls is healthy, they can use him as a complimentary back this week. If not, they can roll with one of their other running backs and just try and get that ground game going with the guys they have up front. And it's going to be tough. I like the defensive line for San Francisco. They just got gashed by Cam and then gashed by Bozzie Whitaker.
Well, that's the thing. It's now 15 of their last 17 games on the road that a back has gotten to either 100 total yards or a touchdown.
So,
and Bozzie Whitaker did it for the first time since high school.
That's the most unbelievable stat ever.
What do you need to see from Thomas Rawls, or rather, like, what do you not need to see from Thomas Rawls?
Practice again today.
They say he's going to play. Well, Pete Carroll thinks he's going to play, but he didn't practice yesterday. I mean, I want to start Christian Michael everywhere I have him, but the Rawls thing is kind of making me a little hesitant.
In the leagues where I have Christian Michael, I am so excited to start him because I have nothing else. Because I took Christian Michael with a mid-round pick. Sometimes to back up Rawls, sometimes not. And just the way that running backs have shaken out this year, I'm starting him over anybody that you picked up off waivers this week.
I would agree with that.
Mike McKinnon and Sims and Riddick. Those guys are nice. They're fill-in guys. Has been a fill-in guy, but I think he's got a chance to have a very nice
week. I wouldn't start him over Sims if Rawls practices this week, but everything else I'm with you. Because the Rams, we talk about the 49ers run defense on the road. The Rams, opposing running backs on the road, going back to last year and week one this year, they've given up numbers to running backs as well. Very similar track record. Very similar track record.
And I would almost buy into that one more just because that personnel is pretty much the same and that coaching staff is the same.
And they had a long road trip too.
Yeah, you're right. They have. I did look at every Rams road game this morning, and they did struggle against running backs, did pretty well against quarterbacks, including Aaron Rodgers. This was something I had forgotten from last year. Aaron Rodgers faced the Rams last year in Lambeau. He entered the game with 587 consecutive passes at home without an interception, and he threw two in that game, ended up with 20 fantasy points. So
So that was kind of the beginning of the fall for him last year, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. It may have been.
Yeah. I think he's still kind of not back from that.
Oh, no, not even close.
Yeah, well, you guys are pretty high on Lacy and Rodgers. I'm very excited to talk about that game. I don't know if you read Pete Prisco's takes on Aaron Rodgers. No, actually, what he said, he didn't write it, so you probably didn't hear it. It was on the Roughing the Passer podcast. He and Will Brinson.
He doesn't
podcast.
Look good, right?
What'd you say?
That he doesn't look good.
No, it's not. Okay, Brinson asked him, "Should we be worried about Aaron Rodgers?" And Prisco said, "No, you shouldn't be worried about Aaron Rodgers, but Mike McCarthy's got to get more creative."
Oh, we talked about this for 2 years, yeah.
And it's ridiculous already. That's why I'm not completely willing to just throw all my faith back in the Packers. And what he said was he has to get more creative, basically, unless Jordy Nelson is running by people, which he isn't right now.
Well, I disagree. He actually did a couple of times.
And he said this week that he's starting to feel close to where he was. So I think it's, you know, week one was shake off the rust. Week two was, okay, maybe I feel like myself. And now week three is let's go out and show I'm the Jordy Nelson of old.
And this is against the Lions defense. It's going to be without Zeke Ansah, without DeAndre Levy. It might be without another pass rusher. And the secondary, Darius Slay is their best corner, and he's just okay.
Yeah, he's done a pretty good – well, they've done a pretty good job against number one so far this year. But, all right, more on all that later. All right, these are fun games to break down. I'm excited. First, though, last night, and an email of the day is from Cody. Dear Adam, Dave, Heath, and Jamie. I had to Google that. It's us. Is it time to buy low on Lamar Miller? And then Cody says, it looks like Lamar Miller's schedule gets better after week four. I don't really agree with that. I think it gets
better. They got a tough schedule. I was going to actually tweet that out. I was like, wow, that might not be a good time to buy low on Lamar Miller. And I was like, I don't know.
He's got his next two road games are at Minnesota and at Denver.
But in between that, we have Tennessee next week at Minnesota, Indianapolis at Denver.
It's like every other game.
Right. And then Detroit and then a bye. So, yeah, it is every other game.
If you look at the schedule after the bye, what's his next toughest match?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Either at Green Bay in week 13 or Cincinnati at home in week 16.
It's beautiful after the bye.
I would take your lumps with those tough games against the Vikings and the Broncos with Lamar Miller.
But listen, let's forget about the matchups here. He has not played very well. I'm assuming you guys think it's an offensive line issue. They did have Dwayne Brown active for the first time all season last night, but this guy, Lamar Miller, is averaging 3.6 yards per carry. He's getting a ton of carries, about 25 a game, but not doing much with it. Is there more reason for concern here with Lamar Miller?
It's the opposite of the Dolphins.
Yeah, I know.
More work and less production.
He turned into Albert Blue.
He really did.
Albert Blue, did he average 3.6 yards per carry?
He might have been better. It's been ugly. It's certainly been ugly. You know, I mean, the thing that saved him has been the work. You know, so you're getting 9-10 points each week. You were hoping for 15 to 18. You know, that's the frustrating part of it. So, I think there's still a lot to like about him. You know, once they start to get things settled a little bit, they had a really bad game plan last night. Yeah, I just didn't understand.
They tried to take what the Patriots defense was giving them.
Well, it was
them.
A lot of like, you know, third and long, let's run Lamar Miller.
Because so, they thought that that's what the matchup
they thought
dictated
they could catch
by the
them
defense.
In something. This is another team that needs to be a little bit more creative. You know, it's not just let DeAndre Hopkins make plays in the passing game and run Lamar Miller as much as we can, then take some shots with Will Fuller. They have to be do some different things with their offense too.
Well, I
think they tried to do that.
Their quarterback didn't play very well yesterday.
Their quarterback played awful.
Yeah. Well, this is John Elway's got to have the biggest smile on his face right now after watching that.
Oh, Elway knew this all along.
Exactly.
And we did too. We were talking about how Brock Osweiler, you know, was not going to be. What were they thinking giving him all that money during the offseason? Yeah, no one's starting Brock Osweiler anyway, but even thinking about him as a bye week quarterback replacement, I don't think you can do that right now.
Yeah. And do you think that we can just kind of shrug off the bad games for Hopkins and Fuller?
You can for Hopkins, but
this is what Fuller's going to be.
It's not about Fuller, although he did have another drop in this game.
Yeah.
It's about Osweiler.
Yeah, but they didn't have the opportunity to take some shots. He'll have games where it'll be, this is what my expectation was for him going in. 2 for 57 and a touchdown. 3 for 80 and a touchdown. You know, the Tyrell Williams line 2 weeks ago, 2 for 71 and a touchdown. I thought that's the kind of guy he was going to be. Not a big volume catch
guy. Week to week.
No. When he's good, that's, I thought, what he was going to be.
Right.
I didn't think he was going to be 5 for 100 back to back weeks. Mm-hmm. 11 targets week one.
You'll come back to him next week against Tennessee.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be a borderline third receiver, especially now as we get into bye weeks. You're going to be in somewhat of a need to start him.
And it was interesting. They had Logan Ryan on DeAndre Hopkins because of his size and his physicality. and they had Malcolm Butler on Will Fuller. There's no, I mean, I don't know how to predict it. I don't know if it even matters because they cover receivers pretty well. But sometimes Butler faces the number one, sometimes he doesn't.
Right.
Ryan Griffin, 8 catches, 52 yards on 10 targets. I assume you don't care?
No.
And by the way, Lamar Miller had a bit of a knee ding, but he seems fine, right?
What was he needing?
on offensive line.
Yeah, an offensive line. And all right, so drop. Somebody asked me, drop James White. I said, I want to see what this offense looks like with Tom Brady. I wouldn't do that yet. What about you guys?
James White and Deion Lewis are a Brady thing. That's when they say, that's our run game. We're just going to dink and dunk all the way down the field. And I don't trust it without Brady playing. So, yeah, if you wanted to cut him, I'll pick him up for sure.
What is LeGarrette Blount's value rest of season?
I mean, he's as sell-high candidate as you possibly find. But as long as he's healthy,
but everybody knows that.
But everybody knows that. That just lost Doug Martin and John Stewart and Jamal Charles isn't playing.
But so. What the LeGarrette Blount owner is going to want in return for this guy isn't going to match up with what he gets offered for this.
What would you want?
Would you do Stephon Diggs for LeGarrette Blount?
In a heartbeat, I would.
Oh yeah.
No. If you're the LeGarrette Blount owner,
yeah, getting
if you're
Diggs.
I guess you're the Stephon Diggs owner.
No.
But if you drafted Diggs as your fourth receiver and you're not playing him.
Why am I not playing him? I'm just because loaded at receiver. Then maybe receivers. In that instance, sure. But I mean, I'm not giving away any receiver that I drafted in the first four rounds or so, and receivers that have broken out. I'd give up Will Fuller.
Well, that's easy. Yeah. The Blount.
But exactly, and the Blount owner is going to say,
"Would you trade
no,
Deshaun Jackson for?"
Oh, I was going to say
in
Deshaun
a heartbeat.
Jackson.
I wouldn't want Deshaun. I'd want LeGarrette.
You'd want Blount.
You want Blount.
Right.
So, yeah,
the
so
Blount
here's
owner's
the thing.
Not going to settle for Deshaun Jackson.
Here's the thing. Blunt's also getting about 25 carries a game right now. Last year, it was, 16, 17, then a 29, 19, 16, 9, 13, 10. So, is it realistic that Brady comes back? Maybe he'll average more like 15 carries per game, LeGarrette Blount?
Yes. That's where the running backs that catch passes will come into play for them.
Right. Is this a two-for-one type of deal where you trade LeGarrette Blount and another good running back for a great running back?
Yeah.
That might be.
See, but if that's the case, I'd rather just hold on to Blount and just see what happens.
Wow. You wouldn't trade like Blount. Would you trade Blount and Ryan Matthews for Todd Gurley?
Oh, I mean, that's a heartbeat. But now you're asking for the best running back on paper coming into the year.
Okay. Would you do that for Lamar Miller?
I think you would. I'm not ready to completely throw away Lamar Miller. His value is sinking, but it's not awful. But then again, if LeGarrette Blount's going to keep getting 10-plus fantasy points per week, isn't that what Lamar Miller's getting right now?
Yeah, but you got to figure Lamar Miller's going to get a lot more work when Brady comes back. A lot more work than LeGarrette Blount when Brady comes back.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Sorry about the Rob Gronkowski thing. That really sucked. He played 14 snaps.
Had one end zone target.
Yeah. And Martellus Bennett drew 2 pass interferences in the end zone in a row.
Yeah.
That was weird.
And I wonder if the game flow was reversed and they were chasing points, what Gronk's involvement would have been.
He had to have played more. If they're chasing points,
you would think, yeah.
And Martellus would have more targets, everything would have worked out better for the New England pass catchers.
Finally, guys, do you think Tom Brady's going to make Chris Hogan relevant?
Yeah, that was the expectation all along. To what degree, though? It's, he'll be in the Will Fuller, Tajay Sharp, those type of guys conversation, third receiver-ish.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the bottom end of that right now, but I think when you're looking at him on waivers, he's about 50-something% owned. He's certainly somebody that you can speculate on when we get to the bye weeks.
Oh, okay. This is the last thing I wanted to say. I forgot to mention this about the Patriots. Look at LeGarrette Blount's upcoming schedule. Buffalo at Cleveland. That looks pretty good. Then Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Great run defense. Then a bye. Seattle at San Francisco, which has been a tough place to run. At the Jets, home against the Rams, which we just said might not be so bad. Baltimore, then at Denver in week 15 and the Jets in week 16. It's actually a pretty bad running back schedule for the Patriots going forward.
Do they feel, though, like they're almost matchup proof?
Blunt?
Like when they're I'm not saying he's going to have a 22 for 140.
Only in the 1 yard touchdown run. Like their offense is so good that he can always get a touchdown.
Yeah,
yes.
I think it's just one of those situations. Like you're rolling off those. I'm like, yeah, I can see him scoring. Yeah, I can see
scoring. right.
You know, it's just one of those things.
But if
where,
he doesn't, it's going to be 5 fantasy points.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at what he did yesterday, but.
So listen,
their offensive line's not healthy yet either. So imagine when their offensive line gets healthy.
When I look at schedules, I feel like it's, you know, it's hard to base this year off of last year in most cases. But if I see the Jets, the Broncos, the Seahawks, and I'd say the Steelers, I feel like pretty good that those teams are going to have really good run defenses.
Yeah.
And all four on this schedule.
But just keep in mind, and we saw it last week, are the Broncos going to be the same with DeMarcus Ware out?
Well,
just, you know, we start to see these injuries start.
They'll be back by then. That's week 15.
No, I'm not saying just in that particular instance. I just think, you know, we're going to see injuries that happen. You know, we talk about on the offensive side all the time. The Vikings are not going to look the same because Adrian Peterson and Teddy Bridgewater is out and their left tackle's out. There are injuries on the other side of the ball. Look, we're talking about Detroit. Detroit's played really well defensively the last 2 weeks, and now all of a sudden, 4 potential starters aren't going to be there for them.
Yeah.
Right.
So it changes, you know, so I think if you're talking about trading for or trading away, don't necessarily let the schedule dictate how you 100% feel about somebody when you're talking about weeks 10 plus, because so much could be different with those teams.
Yep, good point. All right, guys, fantasy football today. The video show is live Monday through Friday at noon Eastern and then Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern until kickoff. If you're into fantasy basketball, now's the time. Start listening to the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast hosted by Chris Towers with Joe Polito. They do a great job. If you want to see all of our podcasts, cbssports.com/podcasts. We got all of our listings and ways to subscribe. And Saturday night, we're on the air. It's me and Jamie this week, 10 p.m. Eastern, Ion Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio, a live call-in show. We're going to take plenty of your calls. We'll probably take about 40, 50 a night over 2 hours. So go to cbssportsradio.com. You can either listen there or you can find out which local station you can hear us on. Sammy Watkins is...
Wait, before you do that, can I tell you who's a putz?
Who?
Austin Safarian Jenkins is a putz.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
He was arrested and charged with DUI Friday morning.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Putz.
Jeez.
That's a way to describe him.
Yeah.
That's a guy that can't get out of his own way, unfortunately.
Yeah, he had problems in college, you know? This isn't like the first time. Sammy Watkins may not play due to his foot injury. He's facing Arizona. So even if he does play, are you going to be starting Sammy Watkins?
No, and we actually had an interesting conversation on our video show yesterday. Nick Costas said that his start at wide receiver this week is Sammy Watkins because of the change in coordinator. And last year when he went through this with complaining about the target, at least asking for more targets, they rewarded him, and that's when he took off. If he was healthy, I could buy into it. If he was healthy and not facing Patrick Peterson, right, I could buy into it. Not healthy, facing Peterson, I don't know how you can feel comfortable starting this guy.
Right.
How?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay, Adrian Peterson had knee surgery. No timetable for his return. He told ESPN he does not have a torn LCL, so that's good, but Mike Zimmer said he could be out for months.
The Vikings in their statement also said, I don't know if addressing this report, but when they said he had surgery, that it was only to fix the meniscus. There were no other knee issues going on in the surgery, so hopefully that's a good thing.
I think they're trying to get him back for the playoffs.
Kenyon Drake is expected to get a good amount of work, according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, as we don't expect.
He's their most explosive running back that's left. And honestly, even if Aaron Foster plays, he's their most explosive running back.
Well, I mean, would you start him over Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake?
Yes, and I would start him in daily as well.
I'd rather start Ajayi. I still think he's going to be the one closing out the game if they're winning, which they're going to be winning.
Willie Snead is a toe injury. Deshaun Jackson says he's going to play through knee and ankle injuries. Julio Jones missed practice with a calf injury, and Alshon Jeffrey missed practice with a knee injury. Are you guys at all worried about Snead, Deshaun, Julio, and Alshon?
I think there's levels of worry for all four. Alshon, I believe, just popped on Thursday.
No, Wednesday.
On the practice report. On Wednesday?
Yeah.
So when did he get hurt in the game last week? It's a little frustrating because he's constantly got these leg injuries. Deshaun Jackson also constantly has these injuries. You can't count on him this week. Snead with the toe is something that popped up this week.
But remember, they play Monday, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully he practices by Saturday and he gets out there and plays. And Julio should be able to play through whatever injury he's got.
The way you guys have talked about Snead, I would have called him a sell-high candidate, and maybe you guys would too, but it does seem like you have faith in Willie Snead to be a good fantasy contributor for teams throughout the rest of the season.
I watched their game yesterday, Adam. against the Giants. And like, I almost feel like he's their most complete receiver. Like, I know Brandon Cooks has speed, but he doesn't have the size. And Michael Thomas has size and some speed, but he's a little inexperienced. I feel like he's going to be the most reliable target for Drew Brees all year. So Drew Brees better hope that his toe is okay and that he practices by Saturday. He's going to need him in this game against Atlanta.
Oh, well, Atlanta's been just awful against quarterbacks, though.
They've been awful against quarterbacks, but their offense has been good, and New Orleans' defense is truly pitiful.
Yeah, but I mean, the Saints at home are always going to score points. I mean, you could play receiver for them, and they'll still score points.
I don't know. I might drop some passes.
I think the one thing about Snead is if Fleener gets going, that's where he will suffer.
Or Ingram.
Very
if those
true.
Rushing touchdowns come. Yeah. Now, I forgot to bring up Melvin Gordon, I think, yesterday on the podcast. And how much do you guys like Melvin Gordon this week?
A lot.
Is he a running back? Is he playing?
So,
does he have a decent matchup?
Kristen Michael or Melvin Gordon?
Melvin.
Gordon. Gordon's yeah. a top 10 guy this week.
Yeah, yeah. No, we like Melvin Gordon. I just want to bring that up. I think I skipped over him yesterday. All right, do you expect the following players? Chris Ivory against Baltimore.
At this point, it looks like he's going to go.
Yeah, and he'd be the better of the two. Certainly in standard leagues. PPR, you could obviously start Yeldon.
T.Y. Hilton against San Diego.
Also expected to play. Also expected to be good, not amazing.
Mohamed Sanu at New Orleans.
See what happens today, Monday game.
If he plays, I like his matchup a lot.
Yep.
Antonio Gates at the Colts.
No.
Doesn't look good.
Delanie
Hunter
Walker.
Henry would replace him.
Delanie Walker, Eric Ebron.
Yes.
Walker says he's going to play. Looks better for Ebron than it did on Wednesday.
And Rashad Jennings against Washington.
Looks like he's going to play too. He had some decent runs against New Orleans last week. Nothing longer than like 10 yards, it feels like.
Right. He's not a game breaker.
He's consistently good for like 4, 5, 6 yards per carry.
You're right. He's steady.
I feel like he's got a cap of like 6 or 7 yards.
Yeah. It's Rashad Jennings.
He's going to have any 20-yard runs.
I started Vereen over James White yesterday. Thank goodness I had to convince Heath on that one in our shared team. Boy, I can't see Vereen doing any worse than James White.
And just based on what I read from offensive coordinator Mike Sullivan, it looks like Orleans Darkwood would be next up if Rashad wasn't getting the job done.
You know what time it is, guys?
It's 9:30 a.m. on the East Coast.
It's about 9:30. It's also time to get 3 free meals. BlueApron.com/FFT. BlueApron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. 3 meals free and free shipping. Why not? Make it happen. I honestly think this past week was the best Blue Apron week that we've had in our 3 months on Blue Apron. The gnocchi that we had on Wednesday night was unreal. And not just the gnocchi, but everything that came with it. The thyme, mushrooms, corn, Swiss chard, and a shallot. You can't get this stuff at a restaurant. And you're not going to buy that. Well, you could buy it at the grocery store, but who does that? I mean, these are really creative meals. It's less than $10 per meal. You know what I think it was for me? I was tired of eating the same stuff all the time, and I hated all the time asking my fiance, what are we doing for dinner tonight? I don't ask that anymore. That's what I love about Blue Apron. Creative, healthy meals. Blue Apron sets the highest standards for its ingredients, and you can tell. You can tell when you look at the ingredients. You can tell when you eat them. I feel better now because I'm eating better. So if you want the best ingredients, if you want to save money and stop throwing out unused food, try Blue Apron. BlueApron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. You're going to love it just as much as I do. That's BlueApron.com/FFT, a better way to cook. 3 alike and 3 you don't for the NFC home games. All right, Dave, you like Eric Ebron. He's a top 7 tight end for all 3 of you guys. He's top 4. He's 4th and 5th for Dave in standard and PPR. What do you like about Ebron this week?
I love a lot of the signs in this matchup. The fact that the Lions have had a touchdown from a tight end in each of their last 2 versus Green Bay. The fact that the Packers have allowed a touchdown to a tight end in each of their first 2 games. And Ebron had a touchdown in week 1, had a touchdown called back in week 2. And I still am not convinced that the Lions are suddenly going to be able to run the ball. Obviously, Abdullah is not going to play for a while. So Riddick and Dwayne Washington, I don't think they're going to be able to shoulder the load. It means Stafford's going to have to throw. Ebron plays a ton. Just a lot of Venn diagram here. I think you could see Eric Ebron put up some really good numbers.
Yeah, and everybody likes Ebron this week. Pitta is another guy that everybody likes. And Dave has Ebron just ahead of Pitta. Jamie and Heath have Pitta 1 spot ahead of Ebron. So it appears to be a toss-up there. All right, Dave, I am nervous about this one. But you like Rashad Jennings.
Just because of what's going on with him and what I saw last week. I think he's okay. And this Redskins defense, I think it just is not very good. So I'm just banking on the Giants doing their thing and Rashad Jennings playing. There's an issue with his thumb. I don't think it's going to matter too much. I don't think it's going to cause a bunch of fumbles or anything like that. And the Giants should be able to put up some points, build a decent lead, attack the Redskins on turnovers, and hopefully Rashad can cash in for a touchdown.
All right, Rashad Jennings or Jerick McKinnon?
Jennings.
Jennings. My only concern with Jennings is what happens if the passing game's clicking and they're up big? Are they going to run him out there with the hand injury? Like to give him 18 carries like we saw in week one?
Sure. There's an opportunity there for him to take a seat, and then either Vereen or Darqua would get in there to try and close out the game.
I think he's a good number two running back.
That's where I
wouldn't use him in daily.
Yeah, I just don't feel like there's a lot of upside with him, but Washington has allowed 4 rushing touchdowns already, and they lost their defensive tackle, Kedrick Golson. So
yeah. As of now, I have Jennings ranked ahead of Michael, but if Rawls is out, that's a no-brainer. You start Michael ahead of Jennings. But guys like Spencer Ware, Jeremy Langford, Frank Gore, to me, they're all kind of in the same boat as Jennings, and I'll just take the matchup with Jennings.
Yeah, the only one I would disagree with is Gore. I think Gore's situation is better.
And I think Vereen, if you're like, you're, you know, maybe it's a 14-team league, but if you're desperate for a running back, I can't believe I'm starting him in a 10-team league. That's how bad our running backs are.
Make a trade, Adam.
We could try. It's the team I share with Heath. Yeah, we probably should make a trade. We got Larry Fitzgerald, with Randall Cobb on the bench, but Vereen had 14 carries last week, so if there is an injury issue with Jennings, Vereen's going to get some catches and some carries. Marvin Jones is another guy you like this week. Is it contingent on Sam Shields playing or not playing?
I like him a lot better with Sam Shields out, but if Sam Shields plays, I still think that Marvin Jones is going to continue to get fed targets. And it's part of the reason why I liked Ebron too is just because of Stafford and how much he's going to throw the football. And Stafford's got a pretty decent track record recently against the Lions. He's had at least 200 yards, at least 2 touchdowns in each of his last 3 against the Packers. So he's got to throw to somebody. I don't think Golden Tate's going to be that guy. I don't think Anquan is going to repeat the feats of last week. I think Marvin Jones is going to be the one who gets the most targets, most catches, most yards. So you start him.
Staying on that, Jamie, you don't like Golden Tate this week. He's one of the 3 you don't like.
Yeah, he just hasn't been playing very well. Now, if he catches the touchdown instead of gets the pass interference call in the end zone last week, maybe it's a little different. But with the way Jones is playing, the way Ebron's playing, the way Riddick's playing, with Bolden being a factor, the biggest thing for me is Golden Tate is one of the better slot receivers in the NFL. They're not using him in the slot as much as they have in the last 2 years because that's where Bolden has had better success and where Ebron is also obviously lining up as well. So I think you look at where Golden Tate is having to make some plays on the outside, he's not successful in that regard.
So do you think Golden Tate is a buy low candidate or just hands off right now?
I would say hands off.
Hands off. Somebody's going to cut him soon. You're going to start to
cut him in one league that I was in.
Yeah, just, I wouldn't do it in PPR yet, but standard leagues, he's going to start to get cut.
Yeah, I guess if I could make the case for him, he had 7 catches in week 1 and 9 targets in week 2. Just didn't come down with a lot of catches. But I guess.
Yeah, but the yards have been, what was he, 7 for 41 in week 1?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yep, that's concerning. Okay, back to the 3 we like. Going over to Jamie's, Kristen Michael, we talked about that. Tevin Coleman at New Orleans is another guy you like.
Yeah, it's also contingent on the week we're looking at. So I think there's a scenario, even if you have both Falcons running backs on your team, like one of our producers here, Scott Riley, he's in a situation where he's got Jay Ajayi and TJ Yeldon, and the 2 Falcons running backs are his 4 running backs this year. I told him to start both Falcons. I mean, I don't see why you can get away from them after the way that they performed last week. I think the floor for Coleman is probably about 6 or 7 points. If they continue to use him in the passing game, I mean, he's got 7 catches through 2 games. That's, what, 2 better than Freeman at this point? Freeman's got 4, so it's 3
Freeman
better.
Freeman has 4.
Yeah, 3 better than Freeman. And they're giving him, 8 carries week 1, 12 carries week 2, so he's probably going to be close to 10 carries again. So if you're talking about 12 touches, I think that's a safe number for him in a matchup that should be high scoring and get up and down. And the touchdown last week was nice. So,
do you know he almost had 2?
No, I did not.
He was actually targeted inside the 5 from Matt Ryan, and he pulled a Sammy Coates.
Yep.
That's the word with Hardy scored?
Right, yeah. Ball bounces up in the air, and Hardy catches it and comes down in the end zone for the Falcons touchdown.
I forgot to pick a bonanza this week.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's
no,
good.
It's not. I'm going to have to do that.
Come on. No. What are you doing?
And I can't choose Monday night.
No.
So, this is a tough week.
No pressure, Adam. There's no pressure. You don't have to do it. Let's just get
this is a really tough week.
Let's get back into thinking about the football games and the starts and sits and the players we like.
Baltimore, so Jacksonville, maybe? Okay, more players we like.
So Jamie, I understand you also like Sterling Shepard.
Hold on. Tevin Coleman or Rashad Jennings?
Jennings for now. Probably Jennings overall.
Yeah, Jennings just because he's the feature guy.
Tevin Coleman or Marvin Jones?
Jones. There's not going to be a lot of situations where the running backs are going to win out over receivers.
All right, Sterling Shepard or Marvin Jones? Sterling Shepard's another guy Jamie likes.
Shepard. I think
over Jones,
I'm not. You said Shepard or Jones or Shepard or Coleman?
Jones.
Oh, no, Jones over Shepard, yes. Shepard, I think, is in a good situation. You know, you got to like the targets. He's, you know, looking like the player we were hearing about in the offseason. And I think if the script goes as Washington is talking about, where they do put Norman on Beckham, Rashad Breeland's been beat each of the last two games, clearly a lot by Antonio Brown in week one, but by Dez Bryant in week two. So Eli will probably continue to lean on Shepard. You got to like the usage and the production. I think he's certainly a borderline starter, but definitely a number three receiver for sure.
Do you think Breeland covers Cruz? Because I feel like Shepard's more slot than Cruz.
Yes, right. Shepard has been playing in the slot more. That's what he works did out even better worlds, for him. And it works out even better.
It works out great, yeah. Yeah. All right, three you don't like. Dave's three, Jerick McKinnon. I'm very tempted. I know it's Carolina, but you're right. It's probably a wait and see. I'm very interested to see what McKinnon's going to do. I feel like if nobody's buying him, I think he's going to have a really good year.
I think he could have a really good year. I think his health is dependent on that. Hopefully he looks a little bit better than he did last week. It's the fact that he's splitting carries with Matt Asiata, and he's in a game where in order for him to score, he's got to break a long run against a very good Carolina defense.
Four times in 2014, he had 15-plus carries. Three of them, he scored at least 8 fantasy points in those games. So I think if they give him the work, which based on the situation right now, they're going to give him an opportunity.
Do they give him 15 carries?
I think that's score dependent, but I would be shocked if he's under 15 touches. But again, if you're just looking at, he needed volume to come down with good stat lines. And so that I think is going to be, if they're in a close game or if they're winning in the fourth quarter, which I think would be a surprise at this point, you know, given how Carolina should play, he's going to have an opportunity to play well. I think he's a flex, you know, especially just
that's fair.
Just understanding what the week is. You know, if you picked him up and spent a lot of fab dollars on him and didn't have anybody else, I don't have a problem starting.
Yeah, I'm starting him in a couple of weeks.
It's not a slam dunk.
I wouldn't want to start.
Right.
Let's put it that way. There are definitely 24 other running backs that I would rather have.
Isaiah Crowell or Jerick McKinnon?
McKinnon. They're back-to-back in my rankings. See, I just don't like Crowell.
There I'd go Crowell because you know he's going to get the work.
Giovanni Bernard or Jerick McKinnon?
Gio for me.
Gio.
My last thought on this is Matt Asiata is just not that good, and we know that. And
but he's better than not that good. Like you think a step up. He's a step up. Yeah, because he can catch the ball a little bit. He's physical. Is he Toby Gerhart? Kind of. That's
I'm not talking this week. I just think if they are going to be successful on the ground.
I don't think he's that good this week. I'm just talking about it in general.
No. If they're going to be successful on the ground this year, they need to turn the reins over to Jerick McKinnon and see what this kid can do.
Yes, that's fair.
Charles Sims, you don't like this week. Sims had 3 games with double-digit carries last season, between 10 and 12 in all 3 of those games. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry or better in all 3. He had 8 fantasy points as a receiver in 2 of those 3 games. This will be a tougher matchup, though, against, I don't know. The Rams confuse me a little bit. I don't know how their defense is so good. Like, statistically, it doesn't rank that well, but, I don't know. Tell me why you're not feeling Charles Sims.
They got blown out in week one, and so their defense didn't look good there. And then in week two, they came back and they beat up on a bad offensive line at home, and it worked out for them. It's just my feeling about Sims. I would say he's in that flex conversation along with Jerick McKinnon, close to being a number two running back. The talk about Jacquizz Rodgers scares the pants off me. Like, this is a guy who's actually going to come in and take even 7 touches away from Charles Sims. Nauseating. That he shouldn't be there doing it, but that's something that the Bucks might do. And is Sims a great running back? I think he's okay. I don't know if he's going to get a ton of work, like 20 touches. It's in the realm of possibility of 12 carries, 5 catches, and 70 total yards. I think that's a very, very safe floor for him, which makes him good to go in PPR. But in a standard league, I don't know if I'm very excited about the matchup against the Rams.
I think given the week again, and Adam, you mentioned it, 3 of 4 games last year where he had at least 10 carries, he got you double digits in fantasy points in the standard league. We talked about this a little bit to open the show. Would you say he's as good, Charles Sims, as good as Adrian Peterson?
No.
Would you say he's as good as David Johnson?
No.
No, he's not.
Would you say he's as good as Jeremy Hill?
No. Maybe.
No, he's not.
Totally agree. I don't think he's as good as those guys. Would you say he's as good as Matt Jones?
Yeah.
Sure.
Would you say he's as good as Javoris Allen?
Sure.
Would you say he's as good as Sean Drone?
These are all guys that did well against the Rams last year.
Yeah. On the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's the thing about the Rams. I said they don't rank that well. I meant last year. They were 20th in run defense and 23rd in pass defense. Somehow they were 13th in points allowed.
Right. They
allow a lot of yards.
Yeah, they're bad between the 20s, but when they get in the red zone, they stop teams from scoring. I think and it continued week one again. You know, their run defense on the road, or just it's not even a run defense. It's production to fantasy production on the road has been good for the other team's running back. So I'll buy into that with the opportunity he's going to get. Yes, Jacquizz Rodgers is going to, for whatever reason, get touches. But I think that's just because Charles Sims is not a featured guy. He's a guy that you want to limit to about 15 carries. He's a guy you want to be fresh in the passing game. And Jacquizz Rodgers, look, he could still pass block. He could still catch a few passes. He could still be successful in what the Charles Sims role was before Doug Martin went down. So I think Sims is, given the week, as good a number two running back as you could find, 15 to 20 in that range.
Wow.
Okay, guys. Russell Wilson. Neither of you like Russell Wilson that much. He's outside the top 12. Fire away with some quarterbacks you'd start over Russell Wilson.
Guys that just, I feel like, have a much safer and brighter outlook.
Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, Carr's a good one.
Flacco I'm on the fence with just because of his traditional road woes. And you saw it last week. Great matchup. He got you 20 points. You know, so it's not like he was
And he was brutal before he really started to kick it in.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the range. They're going to be in the same range if Wilson plays well. So
I'd start Mariota.
I would start Russell Mariota Wilson. Over Russell Wilson.
What about Bortles?
No, I would not start Bortles over Russell
Wilson.
Would.
And Randall Cobb is – actually, Jamie gave me three receivers, Golden Tate, Randall Cobb, and DeSean Jackson that he doesn't like. Those are three do-not-likes this week. We talked about Tate. If you were going to rank them, DeSean Jackson, Randall Cobb, Golden Tate, how would you rank them?
Randall Cobb, DeSean Jackson, Golden Tate.
But you don't want to start any of them?
No.
Cobb is the only one that even has a scintilla of interest as a fantasy starter.
I don't think that DeSean Jackson is going to be matched up against Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie that much. I feel like it's going to be... I'm not sure, actually. But it's been Janoris Jenkins who's been their number one guy, and Cromartie owns DeSean Jackson. I'm assuming that's part of the reason why you guys didn't want to start him this week.
Well, it's also that he's not 100%. It's that Kirk Cousins is not playing very well. And on top of it, the Giants, Janoris Jenkins has been playing great.
Yeah, he has.
And so, you know, when you look at both these guys, so I think it's no matter where he ends up, it's going to be a tough situation for Jackson. You look what they've done the first 2 weeks. Obviously, we know the Dez Bryant situation, Dak Prescott not going to him, could have had a touchdown, but did a good job in clearly containing him. And then they did a great job last week against the Saints outside guys. You know, Michael Thomas was non-existent. Brandon Cooks had a bad game. So I think you got to give credit to this Giants defense, and they're going to get after Kirk Cousins. It's going to be tough for that entire offense.
Yeah, last year, Jackson played only one game against the Giants. He had two catches for 66 yards and a touchdown. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie came off the field for like one play.
And right, that's where they went.
Yeah, Jackson had a 63-yard touchdown on that play. It was very funny. All right, Minnesota at Carolina. Now, we've covered a lot so far, so we'll see what we missed. Who's your favorite running back in this game?
McKinnon,
and yeah, yuck.
So what about Artis Payne and Whitaker? What do you think about them?
Artis Payne's best game as a fantasy running back last year in the three that Stewart missed was 8 points, and Whitaker's, I think, was 3. The problem is that touchdowns are going to be hard to gauge because of Cam and Tolbert when they get inside the 5 or the 10, and it's not like they throw to their backs a lot, and when they do, Tolbert's a factor there too. So I don't think either one is like standout great situation for them. And then you factor in the matchup. I know Minnesota's run defense it should be great, and they're down Sharif Floyd, so that's going to hurt things. But they're still good enough to stop these two guys.
Would you be ecstatic if either one of those running backs for the Panthers returned 7 fantasy points?
That would probably be the ceiling that I would expect if I had to start them. Look, again, we're in a situation where people are stuck. So when you're talking about, like, you're starting Shane Vereen, there are people that are starting McKinnon, that are starting Artis Payne, and I get it. And so, yeah, go in with the expectation of 7 points, and if they happen to find the end zone a la Jeremy Langford falling in at the one-yard line, then you should be happy about that.
Would you start Matt Asiata over Cameron Artis Payne?
No, I would probably go, if I'm ranking this game, I'd go McKinnon, Artis Payne, Asiata, Whitaker.
I just think people would be interested to know this. Over in the three games that Jonathan Stewart missed last year, Cameron Artis Payne had 33 carries, Whitaker had 15 carries, and Mike Tolbert actually had 17 carries. 10 came in one game. We talked basically not at all about Mike Tolbert. You know, could he 14 team league?
Because you'd be excited about him if he scored you 6 fantasy
points. 1 yard touchdown.
Him scoring from the goal line and then doing that belly dance that he does. Maybe he does that. Typically, he's got a chance in home games. They like to give him the opportunity, but it happens once or twice a year.
So Stephon Diggs, he's played so well, 2 100-yard games, but Carolina's not given up more than 55 yards to a receiver yet. Torrey Smith did catch a touchdown in week 2.
Have they been tested, though?
No.
Look at the passing games that they faced.
Right.
So the only reason I ask on Diggs is because he might be your fourth or fifth wide receiver based on where you drafted him. Is he a must-start to you guys, Diggs?
I feel like it just depends.
You know, so, like, I'm starting him. I started him over A.J. Green this week. I think just given the circumstances for both guys, Diggs has a higher ceiling. And I like the rapport that he showed instantly with Sam Bradford. I don't know how good the secondary is yet for the Panthers with their new cornerbacks. And I don't know how successful they're going to be running the ball because of no Adrian Peterson. So you look at what he has the potential to do. And I understand, like, what you're saying. And a lot of people are in this situation of he's on your bench or a third receiver, or fourth receiver. It's just a matter of how comfortable do you feel starting him this week. I think after 2 games, what he showed, it's hard to get away from him.
Cool. So Kelvin Benjamin we're starting, and Greg Olsen we're starting, obviously. Carolina's DST is 8th for Jamie, 2nd for Dave, 5th for Heath. So they all have them as starts, different degrees. And Kyle Rudolph, start or sit?
I think he comes down with 50 or 60 yards, and that's it.
Yeah, he's a borderline starter. I'm going to start him in the one league where I own Antonio Gates. He's the best one available on waivers.
Okay, so Pitta and Tammy ahead of Rudolph.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the Rams and Tampa Bay. These two teams played on it.
I'm going to make a bold statement here. Rudolph will be better than Rob Gronkowski this week.
Rams and Bucks. And this game, again, they played last season on a Thursday. It was 31-23 St. Louis. It was a weird game.
They've played each of the last 4 seasons against each other.
They've played?
Each of the last 4 years. The Rams are 4-0.
Wow. Cool. All right.
I know that's cool, but. It's
a cool stat. Jameis Winston, guys. Start or sit Jameis?
Sit him.
Sit him if you can.
Flacco or Jameis?
Flacco.
Flacco.
And so Mariota over Winston.
Yes. And so, you know, Winston had a terrible game last week, so his value came crashing back down to earth, and now everybody's scared to use him. The Tampa Bay Bucs schedule gets a lot easier after their bye. You can't use Jameis until then.
And this team, St. Louis or L.A. now, they were very good against quarterbacks on the road last year, except for Russell Wilson and Andy Dalton. The other 6 did not do very well, including Carson Palmer and Aaron Rodgers. We have discussed Charles Sims. He's 17th for Jamie, 25th for Dave and Standard, top 20 for both of them in PPR, and Heath is actually the high guy on Charles Sims, but outside the top 12. So he's a number 2 running back. Mike Evans, top 10 wide receiver, and Todd Gurley, guys. Start or sit Todd Gurley, who has 10 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues through 2 games. We have seen 4 running backs that are not bad. Maybe Chris Johnson's bad. Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, David Johnson, and Chris Johnson all have averaged less than 4 yards per carry against Tampa Bay. Oh my gosh, can we sit Todd Gurley?
You can if you want to, but I know what his potential is.
Well, here's a scenario for you. What if you drafted Gurley, Gordon, and DeMarco Murray? Who you said?
Oh, I'm saying Gurley.
Yeah. Or Forte.
Yeah, same.
Right.
I'm not starting him. Over
yeah, I think there are scenarios now where you can feel comfortable benching him. Now, again, Dave just said the P word, potential. Hopefully that's comes to fruition this week. I just think he needs a score. If he gets you 40 and a touchdown, you're going to go, oh, this is why I draft this guy. But at least it's something positive that you can walk away from and say, he got a touchdown. Maybe this is the start of something. And just keep in mind, he was the 6th best running back in standard league last year, And he didn't play the first two games of the season and really didn't play the first three because he only got a couple carries in that game against Pittsburgh. So hopefully we get a mirror of at least last year. And if that happens, you're going to be happy that you drafted.
Yep. Rams DST, number 8 for Jamie, number 9 for David Heath. Deeth. Detroit at Green Bay. All right, good games last year. Last year that the road team won both games.
But just back up. Don't overlook the Bucs defense either if you're streaming.
I agree. And a deep, deep sleeper is Kenny Britt. Big size, a lot of targets last week. This was part of the Rams offense that kind of evolved from week one to week two, was actually using Kenny Britt, and he's got a great size advantage over those Bucs corners. So I bet they go back to him. I think he's got a chance to score.
And he scored last year against Tampa Bay. 2 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown.
That's right.
Detroit at Green Bay. Again, these were 2 close games. Detroit won at Lambeau 18-16, which was shocking. Green Bay won 27-23 on the Hail Mary at Detroit.
That was also shocking.
Very shocking. There was a narrative that at home at Lambeau, opposing running backs didn't do very well. Very rare to see a running back get over 50 rushing yards at Lambeau, and quarterbacks didn't do badly because, you know, Green Bay would put up so many points, and the passing games for the opponents would, you know, like Phillip Rivers threw like 60 passes, right? But if Green Bay is not Green Bay, then things are going to be different. Anyway, lay out the landscape of this game, guys. Tell me what you expect and tell me who you like.
Well, Eddie Lacy's our start of the week, and I like what Mike McCarthy said earlier this week, and Eddie Lacy followed that up by McCarthy
eating
saying
Cheetos.
That. Huh?
By eating Cheetos?
Yes. He licked the Cheetos off his fingers as he was talking. McCarthy said that, you know, one way to fix our offense is to feature our running game a little more. Now, he didn't say we have to feature Eddie Lacy more. He said get our running game going, and he did talk about Lacy and James Starks. But, I mean, let's be honest. If they're going to get their running game going, it's going to be getting Eddie Lacy 15 to 20 carries. Now, he's run well. I mean, 4.4 yards per carry in week one, 4.2 in week two. It's not like he's, you know, been awful in that regard, especially when you start comparing him to other running backs around the league. And I think just given all the injuries that Detroit's dealing with, and his last two, he didn't play in the home game against Detroit last year. His last two home games against Detroit, he's gotten at least 99 rushing yards in those two games. So I think him at home, with the defense being banged up, and the fact I think that they'll start to get him a little bit more chances, I'll buy into him. I think he's a top 10 running back this week.
Hey, what do Morgan Burnett, LaTroy Guyon, Dayton Jones, Clay Matthews, and Sam Shields all have in common?
They're all hurt.
They all haven't practiced yet this week. And I know we're talking about the Packers offense and what you expect, but I think this kind of plays into the hands of the Lions offense that the Packers defense is so bad. Maybe that forces Aaron Rodgers to throw a little bit more. And, you know, the Packers might have to not give Eddie Lacy those 20 to 25 carries that they, I'm sure, would love to give him.
That saves your defense, though, by running.
If he can get it done. Now, on the flip side, the Lions defense is just as banged up. So, Adam, I don't want to tell you what to do with your B words. But given the defenses and how they look in this game, maybe you should take a look at this one.
All right. All right. I'll consider it. So Matthew Stafford, then, is he a must-start guy?
I think he bounces back this week. He's a top 12 quarterback for me.
But he's not like top 5 or anything this week.
No, not top 5. There are too many other quarterbacks that are playing better, but the track record with him is nice.
So Eli Rivers, Carr, all ahead of Stafford, and you guys actually have Tannehill one spot ahead of Stafford,
yep,
too.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to put Mariota ahead of him, too. I like Mariota's situations a little bit better.
Okay. The Detroit running backs. So why don't you rank the 4 running backs? Because I think James Starks might be somebody that a desperate fantasy owner could turn to, maybe in a 14-team league. But rank the 4 running backs, Lacy, Starks, Riddick, and Washington.
I'd rather start the Lions running backs over Starks.
Yeah.
So it's a Packer sandwich, mm-hmm, where you'll have Lacy.
No, it's a Lions sandwich. The Packers are the bread.
Oh, okay, fine. Whatever you want to call it.
I thought you knew food, Dave.
I'm too busy eating the sandwich to recognize what it actually is.
Theo Riddick.
Lacy, Riddick, Washington, Starks.
Theo Riddick or Frank Gore?
Gore.
Even in PPR?
No.
Closer in PPR.
All right, Theo Riddick or Tevin Coleman?
I think Coleman's got more upside.
Coleman. Right, not like, PPR, though.
We like Marvin Jones. We like Eric Ebron. We don't like Golden Tate. Aaron Rodgers is a top 3 quarterback, and... You know, Detroit has allowed 4 touchdowns to tight ends. Does that mean anything for you guys?
You want to start Jared Cook? Go right ahead.
He looked much better last week.
All right, maybe it's a daily play, just shot in the dark.
No, I agree.
And all right, that's about it for me. Randall Cobb, try to avoid him, but Jordy Nelson, you're not going to sit. Washington at the Giants. Last year, the Giants won at home 32-21. Big passing day for Eli. Washington won 20-14 at Washington. Kirk Cousins threw for more than 300 yards twice, but only one passing touchdown in each game. Nobody's starting Cousins, right?
No,
you shouldn't.
And everybody's starting Eli, right?
You should.
Okay, Eli's fourth for Dave, seventh for Jamie, and seventh for Heath. All right, what else in this game? Matt Jones. Matt Jones, let's talk about him. How do you feel about Matt Jones? Compare him to Theo Riddick.
I'd rather have Riddick. I wish that they would actually give him more work.
They've talked about it.
He's run well.
Buy-low candidate? Nobody seems to care or like Matt Jones.
There's a lot to not like.
He was dropped in one of my leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're desperate for a running back, he's a starter. Doesn't seem like there's much of a challenge there for him. And
he actually ran consistently well last week against Dallas.
You can't fault him for a bad game against Pittsburgh.
Right, he only had seven carries.
Yeah, but also Pittsburgh's great. 13 for 61 at a touchdown against Dallas. The Giants have been very good against Elliott and Ingram. So sitting Jones, right?
I would try to.
Are there any Redskins that you like this week? Jordan Reed, you're going to start. Anyone else?
Reed's got a
Jameson
great
Crowder's
track
a good sleeper
PPR.
This week.
Yeah, Crowder's a good sleeper.
You look at the way he's been used, a lot of targets, and think about where the Giants have struggled so far this year. It's been with slot receivers or inside guys with Cole Beasley week one and Willie Snead week two.
Yeah, he might get some Eli Apple, the rookie.
He might, and if Deshaun doesn't play, it opens up more targets.
I don't think it changes his role, though. I think that's more
dominant. It might not change his role, but I think he gets a couple extra targets out of the deal.
How would you rank these three receivers? Sterling Shepard, Randall Cobb, Victor Cruz.
Shepard's number one. Cobb or Cruz? I think you can make the case for Cruz.
I go Shepard, Cobb, Cruz. I have a feeling, though, like I don't like Cobb this week, but it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, with all the injuries to Detroit, this is one of those get-right games for the Packers.
If you have, let's say, Jerick McKinnon and Victor Cruz in a PPR league, who are you starting?
Cruz.
McKinnon.
All right. Giants DST is top 10. I don't know. I mean, they don't do a lot. They're steady, but only two sacks this year. That could come, though. They've got the pass rushers, and they do have a defensive touchdown on a blocked field goal, but they're top 10. Pittsburgh at Philadelphia. Starter sit Carson Wentz. Pittsburgh has allowed last year the third most passing yards per game, and this year they've a lot of passing yards so far to Dalton and Cousins. Wentz, is he a sneaky start? Dave?
No.
No? Jamie, no?
Yeah, I think this is a big test for him. And last week he looked great. Everybody was crazy about him, and his stats weren't great. So what situation are you in where you're starting Wentz? A two-quarterback league?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're desperate, you don't like your other quarterback options in a 2QB league or even a super flex league, then Carson Wentz is somebody you could turn to as a potential starter. But just because he gets, you know, 275-plus yardage doesn't mean he's going to get two or three touchdowns to go along with it.
I've made the decision there will be no bonanza this week.
I love you.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm not feeling it this week. Jacksonville-Baltimore would be the closest thing, and I'm not feeling it. Ryan Matthews. How about Ryan Matthews or the waiver wire guys?
Matthews.
I don't love Matthews' situation. His playing time went from 48% of the team snaps in week one to 29%
They changed
in week two.
Their game plan.
And Pittsburgh is very, very good against the run. I don't know. I don't see them going away from what they did last week. He's touchdown dependent. If he didn't score week one, you would have been left with seven fantasy points. He's not working in the passing game. They're going to be chasing points in this game. So Matthews is in the McKinnon, Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Langford, Puke.
Is he a number two running back for you?
By default. I'd rather have Isaiah Crowell than all those guys.
Spencer Ware or Ryan Matthews?
Ware.
All right. Now, I do want to mention one thing. Last year and so far through two games this year, teams throw often on Pittsburgh, run very infrequently. Last year, they saw the sixth most pass attempts and the sixth fewest rush attempts. This year, only San Diego has seen more pass attempts than Pittsburgh, 98-97. So that is a trend that has continued, and it makes you maybe even a little more nervous about Ryan Matthews.
Could it be that the Eagles use a similar game plan to what they did last week against Chicago?
Yes.
If that's the case, then maybe we're giving Matthews even too much
credit.
No,
he needs to score, and he could score in this game. I mean, they gave up two touchdowns to running back so far this year. One was on the ground, one was in the air.
Right. When they went to their spread formation, as they did often against Chicago, it was Sproles in the backfield.
Yeah, I think Sproles is certainly a sleeper in this game. The problem with him is if he doesn't score, your ceiling's about 5 or 6 points.
Starter sit Jordan Matthews.
I think he's a start. I know they did a good job last week against A.J. Green, but that was in the rain. Number one receivers have typically done well against them, and he's been so involved. I mean, you know, I don't remember what his targets were last week, but 14 in week one.
Eight targets. So, oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I was looking at AJ Green. My bad. It doesn't matter. He has been involved.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be chasing points this game. So I think he's a borderline 2-3 receiver. He's in the same conversation like a Sterling Shepard type of guy.
He had nine targets, six catches, 71 yards last week. Just no touchdown. If he scores, then
and he had a 35-yard touchdown in his hands.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Trey Burton had a good week, but this week
desperation.
He's... Okay.
Desperation.
And
not a sleeper.
Ben Roethlisberger, number 9 for both of you, number 8 for Heath. Philadelphia, so far, fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks against Cleveland and Chicago.
That great duo of quarterbacks that they faced of RG3 with a broken shoulder.
And Jake Culler with a broken thumb.
Jake Culler with a broken thumb.
And D'Angelo Williams will get 30 touches for the last time this season, hopefully. But
he'll get 6-plus touches for the last time this season.
You know what? The fact that he has gotten so many damn touches makes me think that he could get 10 per week when Le'Veon's back.
That's what I was
And Le'Veon
thinking.
Will still be fine.
Yeah, that's what I was
He'll still have 20.
You'd rather have Le'Veon get all 30 of those touches.
I think no running back should sustain that. I like them getting spelled to keep them fresher. Any Pittsburgh wide receivers other than Antonio Brown this week?
No. It looks like Wheaton's going to play.
Okay.
Wheaton.
And what about Cream of Wheaton? Team name.
There you go.
Not
Change
bad.
Yours now.
Jesse James, 14th for Jamie, 15th for Dave. So you could do better. Clive Walford over Jesse James?
If you want.
He's touchdown dependent. So.
And I think I went back and watched it. Walford's touchdown last week was kind of fluky. Gotta say.
He was wide open. He went in the end zone.
He was wide open and a safety slipped.
That's okay. Like, they have a good offense. He's gonna get open.
But most of his other targets were very close to the line of scrimmage. So
if
I almost
he scores,
feel like
you're gonna
he's
be very happy about
right.
it.
Right. Like he's to me, he's like red zone, catches the ball, touchdown. That's
all right.
What he had last week, I think, is very much the exception. But he's still in my top four.
Guys, two more games that I think we can fly through pretty quickly here. Chicago at Dallas. Starter sit Jeremy Langford.
Very similar to Matthews. You're gonna need a touchdown for him to help your fantasy team. And so I'll say the same thing. I'd rather have Isaiah Crowell. At least I know he's getting work and is going to continue to. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Howard makes this a 50-50 split.
I don't know if it's going to be 50-50 this soon. I think it'll depend on how they run in the game. But I think that's where Jeremy Langford's at now. He kind of has to get a hot hand in order to keep his carries where they've been.
And even though he's playing on passing downs, he's only got 3 catches on the season.
Pick up Jordan Howard now.
Absolutely.
Stash him.
Where does he rank versus all the other staff?
Well, I think the best one is to compare him to Kenneth Dixon because he's going to play soon.
Howard would play sooner than Dixon. I like Dixon better.
I think Dixon's better too, but I also think, you know, does Dixon come back to 100% after he's back?
Right.
You know,
like how long could it be? There's a chance Dixon might not be back till week 6. By then, Howard could be the starter in Chicago.
Yeah.
But we do know John Fox's track record with rookie running backs.
Well, last year he was forced to use one, and this year he may be forced to use one.
Yeah.
Starters at Dez Bryant.
We'll start.
And what about
Chicago's
Alshon Jeffrey?
Secondary is in terrible shape.
You cool with Alshon Jeffrey, Dave?
As a number 2 receiver, if he plays.
All right. Eddie Royal, by the way. Look, Cutler's out, so. But Dallas has allowed touchdowns to Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz, and Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, he's sneaky.
So, again, this is like a long shot. Maybe fill in your lineup in a daily league. Eddie Royal's kind of interesting. And you're starting Ezekiel Elliott. Alfred Morris, is he better than like Dwayne Washington if you're that desperate, Alf?
No.
Okay. Cole Beasley, 8 catches, 65 yards in week 1, 5 catches for 75 yards in week 2. You talked about Jameis Crowder being a sleeper. What about Cole Beasley? Who's better?
I like Crowder better this week, but they're close.
Okay, so same kind of deal there.
I like Beasley better just because he's been more consistent and his quarterback can find him.
Yeah.
Cousins can find Crowder too, but I don't know. I like the consistency so far from Beasley.
And Beasley, again, end zone target last week and, yep.
And a better
dropped a touchdown in week 1.
Better matchup for him too.
And you don't like.
I don't know if that's the case.
Against Chicago?
Against the slot receiver for the Giants, yes.
Okay, so anyway, Jason Witten, you guys don't really like this week. So, San Francisco at Seattle. Carlos Hyde.
No.
Compare Carlos Hyde to Jeremy Langford, Ryan Matthews. What do you think?
I would prefer not to use him. I would prefer to not have to obtain the services of Carlos Hyde.
Isn't it annoying that you drafted the guy in the fourth round and like the last 2 weeks, two of the first 3 weeks of the season, he's been a sit?
That's yeah, annoying. Yeah, but their schedule gets better.
Okay, well, that's good.
They play at home against Dallas next week, so he'll rush right back up into being a good start for your team.
Let's break out the faithometer. 0 to 10. 10 is you have a total faith in the guy. Faithometer for Carlos Hyde.
Season or this week?
This week.
Oh, 3?
Yeah, 2.
Okay, how about Doug Baldwin?
On the faithometer?
Yeah.
7?
6.5.
Tyler Lockett?
5.5.
4.
Jimmy Graham?
1.
Do you think... You're right,
0.9.
What time did you go to sleep, Jamie?
I don't 2, know if you did.
2:30.
What is with you? Are you working the whole night?
I was doing lower work last night. Yeah.
Man, this guy. The machine.
He was pumping iron.
Jimmy Graham, do you think he played more last week? Do you think people should stash Jimmy Graham?
If you have the roster spot, I mean, if you want to take a chance on somebody, sure.
The only people who have him right now in fantasy are people who recognize his name and said, oh, he was awesome with the Saints. Everybody who remembers last season doesn't want Jimmy Graham on their fantasy team. He's on the waiver wire in a bunch of our leagues.
Yeah, I'm not picking him up. So last question here. Two things. Not even a question. No bonanza. We're going to read some emails in a second. No bonanza this week, but I have two bold predictions. Again, two bold predictions that are pretty much, well, actually one of them is no risk. The other one a little bit. CJ Anderson catches a touchdown. I said that yesterday. And Michael Floyd's going off this week. 80 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I like that one a lot. I agree with you.
Let's do it, Michael Floyd. All right. Emails. This is from Kenny. Where is Kenny from?
Kenny is from Topeka, Kansas.
Kenny from Topeka, Kansas says, hey, Royal, Baby, and Navy.
Blues.
Those are Blues. Dabba-dee-abba-dye. Should I trade Sterling Shepard and Tyrell Williams for Brandon Marshall in a 14-team half-point PPR league?
He sent over his roster and what his receivers look like. He would have Decker and Marshall on the same team. Marshall would immediately become his best receiver. He's banged up right now. I almost want to tell him to wait just so.
Take the trade.
To take the trade?
Yes.
Why?
You're getting Brandon Marshall for two young guys that have had good performances, but who knows if
but he's
got to
start 3 receivers. I would almost rather use the receivers this week and then make the trade. Because Marshall might not even play.
He's going to play.
He hasn't practiced yet.
All right. From Derek.
If he makes the trade and Marshall doesn't play, his starting receivers are Decker, Macklin, and Tajay.
Did we talk about the Saints and Falcons game yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Derek, where's Derek from?
Derek is from Decatur, Illinois.
Who do I put in a flex? He's from Illinois. Flex in a standard scoring league. Tajay Sharp, Philip Dorsett, or Kristen Michael?
If Rawls is out, it's Michael easily. If not, it's Sharp. The Raiders,
over Dorsett?
Can,
I
the
like
Raiders
Dorsett
cannot
better.
Defend receivers, and he is a matchup nightmare for them.
But is he going to get a slew of targets because Tennessee's DNA is running the ball?
Yes, he's going to get as many targets as Philip Dorsett.
Guys, I'm sorry. Let's just do answers here so we can read more emails. Tim in the STL. Dear Clinton, Edgerin, Willis, and Frank.
Hurricanes.
Make Jamie answer that. Fine. Dave answered it. Who to start at a flex in a 14-team PPR league? Michael Thomas. Mike Wallace or Tyrell Williams?
We're going to call Mike Wallace Mike Wallets when he's good and Mike right. Walnuts when he's bad.
Right.
So for now, he's good. So I would start with Mike Wallets.
Mike Wallets it is. This is from Alyssa from a town in southeast Texas.
Beaumont.
It is Beaumont. She says, hey, Finn, Millie, Gayton, and Caleb. Ooh, that I don't know. The question is... Oh, first of all, she wants to name her team the Demogorgon, as in Stranger Things. Oh, that's it. That was the whole question. The Demogorgon. Yes. Good team name. Stranger
Great
Things.
Great question.
Good
Thanks,
show.
Adam.
This is from Nick in Brooklyn. Half-point PPR. I need to start 2 running backs and a flex. So let's pick 2 running backs, half-point PPR. Jeremy Hill, Tevin Coleman, Kristen Michael, and Alfred Morris.
Coleman and Michael.
Yep.
And now let's pick a flex. Jeremy Hill, Morris, Devontae Adams, Sammy Coates, Adam Humphries, and Kenyon Drake.
I go Adams.
Adams?
Drake is kind of fun, but you just don't know how much he's going to play. I think Adams in a PPR is
well. I went back and read the story you quoted about Barry Jackson saying he's going to play more.
A good amount.
Yeah, they didn't. That was after them just talking about Ajayi all over the place.
Yes, it was like we still have faith in Jay Ajayi. Yeah.
Yeah. you kind of didn't frame that correctly.
Because no, I don't agree. I said what he said. We expect Jay Ajayi to play a lot. That's not a change.
No, but the way you phrased it earlier in the show.
I believe, Adam, you said that Kenyon Drake is a cinch for the Hall of Fame.
I didn't mean to insinuate that he was going to play more than Jay Ajayi, just that he was going to have a good amount of work.
Okay.
And by the way, Finn, Millie, Gaten, and Caleb are the kids from Stranger Things. That must be their actual names. Last one here. Let's do Ashley from Texas here. I currently have Mark Ingram and CJ Anderson. The other guy is willing to trade me Le'Veon Bell for Ingram and one of my receivers. Hopkins, Kelvin Benjamin, Diggs, and Moncrief.
Well, Moncrief, that's
right,
easy.
Moncrief
throw
would
out
be easy.
If no one's going to do Ingram and Moncrief for Le'Veon Bell. I can't believe somebody's going to trade Le'Veon Bell after waiting with him
but
on
wait,
your roster.
But
so
if you're
wait.
Always doing, you need a
yeah,
lot of
I
help
guess,
anywhere.
I guess.
Would you trade Ingram and Hopkins, Benjamin, or Diggs for Le'Veon Bell?
Ingram and Diggs in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Take my money. And then trade Moncrief for D'Angelo Williams. Because no one's going to use D'Angelo Williams. If, you know, because Le'Veon's coming.
Oh, my gosh. I just got a very upsetting email. Pissing me off a little. Not that. Chris said, I love the show, but the intro is wearing me out. It really stinks. I can't skip it fast enough every day. I disagree. I like the intro, and it stays. Thank you for listening, though, Chris. You're a good
man. Now it's time for Animazer to end our week on a happy note.
All right. I'm so happy. I'm going to a wedding today.
I wasn't done yet.
Come on. I'm going to a wedding. I'm excited.
Close up the podcast now.
I'm going to dance and party.
No one wants to see that.
And I'm not going to drink. I'm going to drive responsibly. And I'm going to do...
What kind of car will you be driving?
It's an SUV.
Blank runner?
No, it's not the 4Runner. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're back on Saturday night for Ion Fantasy Football. Sunday morning, Fantasy Football Today at 11 a.m. Eastern. We're going to dominate this week, feeling really good about it, feeling like we've given some good advice, ready to put it to good use. Let's go to 3-0 or 2-1 at the very worst, and have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.